The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's game time. Join Anthony Herron for the Game Plan. We'll discuss the top stories of the week in the world of sports and entertainment. And really, whatever else Big Ant feels like talking about. Now, here's your host, Anthony Herron. Get down.
America, what's up? The better part of the next hour, I am your voice. This is the Game Plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Coming to you live from the Mission Design Studio, the palatial Mission Design Studio. Very, very nice in here in the studio today. Scenic, moving into that winter wonderland kind of look outside the windows here, as the whole nation is. I guess it should be this time of year. Had a great Thanksgiving weekend. I hope everybody else did. Went and saw the in-laws out on the East Coast, as I told you last week. Still feeling full. Had plenty of turkey. Plenty of dressing, you know, all the other accoutrements that go with a good Thanksgiving feast. Really enjoyed it. Much love to the in-laws out there in New England. Thanksgiving Day, football on the tube. I don't know. Overall, not bad. Really, the first game of the day I thought was the most intriguing between Detroit and Green Bay. And really, it turned out to be kind of a dress rehearsal for the Packers, especially on the defensive side of the ball, more so because of the fact that two of their best defenders, Al Harris, Aaron Campman, out of the lineup, and they had to figure out what they were going to do. And really, what they ended up doing, they blitzed the mess out of Detroit. They got home plenty. And, you know, while some new playmakers, I think, still are going to need to emerge for them to continue to make a playoff push heading through the rest of the season, certainly saw that, especially a guy like Charles Woodson. I mean, he's been making plays in Green Bay for years now, and he's continued to push himself into that defensive player of the year conversation with Jared Allen. And I gave you my preview a couple of weeks ago who I think the postseason award winners could possibly end up being. And neither one of those two guys has done anything to hurt his case over the last couple of weeks. So I was really, really intrigued by that game. And you know, just looking at the NFC picture as a whole, as you look at the game we saw last night on Monday Night Football, I think there's little doubt left that the New Orleans Saints are going to have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They're sitting at 11-0, and this was the game that the followers of the NFC had really waited for. You know, we've seen the Colts, the Steelers, the Patriots over the past decade. We've seen these three teams be the predominant franchises on the AFC side of the ledger for, you know, looking at a good decade now. In the NFC, power has changed hands more often than not, and really the most dominant team in the NFC has been the Philadelphia Eagles, who've only made it to one Super Bowl and didn't win that one. They lost that one to the Patriots. So at the NFC, on that side of things, this season, everyone was kind of waiting to see, you know, who else might emerge or if the Saints are for real. And last night's game was the game where you said, you know what, they got it done against the team that everyone still measures themselves against, the New England Patriots, on the big stage, on national television, Monday Night Football, at home, right there in the Superdome with everybody pulling for them, everybody predicting that they would and probably should win the game. That's a completely different circumstance than this franchise has probably ever been in, let alone just looking at this season. And really, when it all comes down to it, it's due in large part to the play of Drew Brees. And the weapons that they have surrounding Brees are impressive enough on their own. But when you see the way that he now, in really that Peyton Manning-esque way, can find a way to make sure that everyone else on the offensive side of the football is in the spot that they have to be in. He gets to the line of scrimmage. He changes formations. He makes checks. And he can manipulate the defense with his eyes at a level that, you know, you could probably say it's starting to approach rivaling what Peyton Manning has been able to do. You know, the fact that Manning has been doing it for so much longer at that level than what Breeze has, you can still rank Manning ahead of him in that category. But really, really impressed with watching him on television last night do that to a young Patriots defense, a defense that, you know, if the Patriots are going to make a serious run, you know, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win their division. They're going to win the AFC East. But as far as actually being a competitor, being a threat in the postseason, that defense is going to have to find a way to get better. And all the playmakers that we've heard mentioned in recent weeks as we've taken a closer look at the Patriots D that aren't there anymore, new people are going to have to emerge that can come through in the critical situations, that can get off the field on third down, that can secure turnovers when the opportunities are there, and that can make the game-winning plays that have to get made if you're going to be a championship-level team. And that's how the Patriots are judged. It's not about winning your division. It's not about making the postseason. Everyone looks at New England and says, can and will this team win a Super Bowl? Right now, their defense isn't at a level to get it done for them. And it was displayed in spades last night by Drew Brees and the Saints. Really impressed by their performance. I'm going to hop around a bit in this first segment because there's so much big news everywhere. Can't ignore the news going on in college football right now. Of course, Charlie Weiss, they've made it official at Notre Dame. He is no longer the coach. So the speculation has been going on throughout the season. That now has been confirmed. And now the search begins, which, you know, it's safe to assume the search has been ongoing in recent weeks. Now, whether or not they've actually contacted any of the candidates, I suppose I believe their athletic director when he says that he has not. And really, and I'll actually touch on the poll question here in a moment, because part of my take I want to make about Notre Dame is now that this job is open again, it's going to be, I'm really looking forward to seeing who the candidates are that they publicly go after, you know, because it's going to be such a public hunt for the Notre Dame coach. There's already been plenty of reports about who they should hire, who they want to hire, who the possible replacements for Weiss have been or will possibly be. But now that Charlie Weiss is officially out, you know, part of the thing will be to determine whether or not they're going to go to a bowl game, whichever, you know, they're going to get invited. They're 6-6. When Notre Dame meets the 6-win plateau, someone's going to want them in a bowl game. They're going to get invited. Then they got to figure out whether or not they're going to take that bowl. You know, is it worthy of Notre Dame? Like, Notre Dame is not going to the Motor City Bowl, or I guess they call it the Little Caesars Bowl in Detroit now. They're not going there. That's not Notre Dame prestige. They got to go somewhere, Warren. They got to go to the Hawaii Bowl at least or something like that, even though it's not a prestigious bowl game, but it's somewhere warm, somewhere their fan base can go and surf and drink and enjoy themselves and everything. So part of the thing is going to be figuring out what bowl game they go to, and then who's going to coach them in this bowl game. Because I don't see Charlie Weiss coaching Notre Dame in a bowl game after he's already been canned. I don't see Charlie doing it. I don't see Notre Dame's officials being comfortable with it, so I don't think that's going to happen. But in the midst of all this going on in the next, you know, week or so, they've got to start looking for a coach. But the problem is, if they really want to go for the top flight names out there, most of the guys are having success both at the collegiate and the professional level. They're going to go for some NFL guys, too. Don't get it twisted. They're going to try to get some NFL names. But just looking at the college guys that have been consistently mentioned throughout the year, and their names are still staying prevalent right now. Urban Meyer, who really is not going to take the Notre Dame job anyway, of course. Florida, looking at a possible national title run yet again. They've got their SEC championship game this weekend. And then, you know, they're going to be in a January game, whether it's national title or another BCS game. Another name that's been thrown around is Oklahoma's coach, Bob Stoops. Now, he's a guy that Oklahoma will make a bowl game, but, you know, I don't see Stoops taking the job either. When you compare the situations at Oklahoma and Notre Dame, I think they're possible jobs that would be considered on a similar level right now, because Oklahoma, although they do have their fair share of history, I do think in prestige you could say that taking the Notre Dame job could be a step up from his situation at Oklahoma. But, you know, the success that Stoops has had there, he has turned it into somewhat of a football factory. And from people I know that have been around him, my impression of Stoops is that he would not want to leave Oklahoma coming off a season like he had this year. He doesn't want to leave Oklahoma, you know, with a 6-5 or 7-5 or 6-6 type of run. He wants to leave them on a very successful note and then decide if he's going to go to the NFL or something along those lines. Brian Kelly seems to be the most logical choice from the success that he's had at Cincinnati and really where Notre Dame actually is at this point. So this is what I put out for the poll question today. I'd like your opinion on what you think of the Notre Dame coaching job, just really as a gig in the whole lexicon of college coaches right now. Where would you rank Notre Dame as far as just the prestige of the job itself? And I'll give you my opinion on it. I don't think it's near the stature that it was, you know, a decade or a couple of decades ago. And it's happened with a lot of different programs, you know, in many sports around, you know, just the whole landscape of college sports because of the fact that so many other people are on equal footing right now. You know, T. Boone Pickens, all the money that he donates to the Oklahoma State program, even that program, Oklahoma State could really pay for a new coach if they wanted to. You know, the endowments of some of these programs are so similar. While Notre Dame still surpasses most, if not all, the other programs in the country, but everyone, especially down here in SEC country where I live, everyone can pay for a coach. Everyone's on national television between the contracts with ESPN and ABC and Fox and, you know, everything else that goes into it. So I don't really see Notre Dame. I see it as still a very good job. I see it as a step up for where a lot of other guys would sit as the head coach of some of the major programs. But is it on the pedestal that it once was? I certainly don't think Notre Dame is that plum A-plus number one job that it was back in the day. That's my poll question. I put two out, actually. One, where would you rank Notre Dame as a coaching job? Do you think it's still the most, if not one of the most, prestigious coaching jobs available out there? That would be the first one. And then a non-sports one, I'll talk about a little bit when we get back from break, shopping. I'm a last-minute, really last-second Christmas shopper. I'm curious where some of you folks rank yourselves in that vein as well. Are you a last-second Christmas shopper? And if so, why? I'll touch on that a little bit when we get back from break. And also, our third segment, we're going to talk to Don Pearson, who's the sports director for WHNC 19 News in Huntsville, Alabama. He's going to be covering the SEC championship game that takes place between Florida and Alabama this Saturday. We get about the halfway point of the show. Third segment, I'm going to talk to Don Pearson. But when we get back, get that poll question up and get into a little bit of NFL and college football talk. So, got a short break coming here. We'll be right back with the game plan. Stay tuned.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Is there truly a lesson in every situation? Can you learn from another person's experiences, or are lessons learned when they only happen to you? Dave Pelzer, number one national and number one international best-selling author, challenges listeners to stand tall, to be accountable, no matter what the setbacks, and to recommit to enhancing their lives, as well as assisting others around them. Listen to The Dave Pelzer Show every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Radio Network.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
The Sports Mavericks Show redefines the elite athlete by bridging the gap between parents, athletes, and the community. Host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, brings to the Voice America Network original programming, balancing the pursuit of academic excellence and sports participation. The Sports Mavericks Show airs every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listeners will be engaged in straightforward talk, spontaneous and unscripted, by the experts. Ida and her guests will explore the challenges of success and failure in sports and will help athletes and their parents navigate the transition from high school, college, and then on to the pros. We put fun back into sports and recognize role models in sports through our Sports Mavericks All-Star Award program. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with Ida Mouyeh and the Sports Mavericks Show right here on the Voice America Sports Channel.
To the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
That's right. You did my job for me. That's exactly what I neglected to do heading into the first break, to put the numbers and the emails out there for you. Feel free to call in 888-346-9144. Going to keep the phone lines open this segment before talking to John Pearson, the sports director for WHNT News 19 in Huntsville, Alabama. He is covering the SEC championship game this weekend. Going to get into the Florida-Alabama matchup with John next segment. But here, this segment, phone lines are open, and you can feel free to email me. So call again, 888-346-9144, or feel free to email me, bigantnow@live.com, B-I-G-A-N-T-N-O-W, @live.com. Go ahead and get your takes in on put the two poll questions out. I'll revisit them briefly. Is Notre Dame still one of the best coaching gigs in college football? The other one, for some of the folks who maybe would not want to talk sports, it really occurred to me after Thanksgiving, getting into the whole Black Friday and apparently Cyber Monday is a big thing now. I'd never heard of that until a few days ago, but Cyber Monday, there's a bunch of holiday sales that take place online, different websites. Really, none of it matters to me. None of it, I don't know. I'm not a big shopper. As I told you a few minutes ago, I'm a last-second guy when it comes to the Christmas shopping. But I wonder if you are. And actually, it might be a gene that runs in my family as well. I was even reminded about my aunt. There was a time in the Chicago Sun-Times, a big paper up in Chicago, where they actually even had her on the front page of the newspaper, and it showed her just walking down the street with bags, showed her on Christmas Eve doing her last-second shopping. So that's in my genes. I'm a last-second shopper. Wonder if you are. So that's the other poll question. Are you a last-minute Christmas shopper? And there really doesn't seem to be much difference between the very early people or the very late people. There's not much middle ground there. So those are my two poll questions. The other job, touched on Charlie Weiss and Notre Dame, but, of course, I'm assuming you've heard by now that Bobby Bowden has stepped down at FSU. I don't know if I'd use the word unfortunate, but, you know, I guess I'm a little bit sad to see Bobby go. I mean, he's one of the legendary figures in college football. And to see him force out in the way that he was, you know, him and Joe Paterno, they've been, you know, kind of neck and neck for really decades now. Both of them have been at their respective schools for so long. Bobby Bowden for 34 years at Florida State. Paterno now finished up his 44th season at Penn State. And to see Bowden, you know, ushered to the door, and it wasn't a quiet thing. You know, there's people releasing statements and giving public opinions, doing interviews, and, you know, high-ranking officials at Florida State University saying that they would like him to step down, even though Bobby has been willing to retort publicly that he's not ready to step down yet. He wants at least another year. He'd like to finish out his contract. He'd like to see if he can right the ship at Florida State. You know, maybe not win a national title next year, but to go out on a higher note than his 6-6 season this year, which is his worst record apparently since his very first year at the school 34 years ago. And it's, you know, it's, I guess it's a story that relates to the current landscape of college sports, but it's one of these moments where we've all, in a way, I guess, seen it coming, or at least knew that the possibility was there, and it was just about, you know, which administration would maybe blink first. You know, as I was playing college football in the late 90s, it was when Penn State was going through a rough patch, and there was, of course, plenty of scrutiny about whether or not Joe Paterno should either step down or should be forced out by Penn State's administration. And for me, getting to, you know, getting to see it as a player in the Big Ten Conference and now working with the Big Ten Network and covering some of their games, talking to their administration people at Penn State, I'm of the impression that one of the ways Joe Paterno was able to turn it around is, one, he kept people very close to him that he could and you know, by all accounts, should have trusted. And so his coaching staff, he hasn't had a lot of turnover in the coaching staff, and they've been able to morph themselves on the offensive side of the football to, you know, a more updated version of things. They run that spread HD at Penn State. And, you know, while they've diminished some of Joe Paterno's, I guess, overall responsibilities within the university, they've been diminished to some degree, he still has his hands in on the day-to-day operations to a much larger degree than what most people would realize at Penn State. Now, I've covered several of their games over the past couple of years. I got to call two of their games this year. And believe me, Joe Paterno is still up to date on what's happening with FSU, with PSU, and making many of the day-to-day decisions. Bobby Bowden, I can't speak to what he was doing at Florida State with the same level of, you know, of inside info, I guess. But I guess the offer that was put on the table is that he could return next year, but it would have to be in a largely diminished capacity where Jimbo Fisher, the coach in waiting, would get to make a lot of the major decisions with the program as far as recruiting, as far as assistant coaches, you know, different things like that that the head coach has his hand in on. The people who I think should not be lost in all of this, and it's part of where I think, you know, maybe the NCAA should still consider tweaking some of the rules they have on whether student-athletes are allowed to transfer or not, because there are kids at both these programs. I already talked about Notre Dame, and now talking about Florida State, there are kids at both these programs that have built a rapport with the head coach that they were at that school with. And so no matter how much, you know, we can look at it from the outside in and say that they should be prepared for it and they're there for their education and these types of things, being a student athlete, the athletic side of that takes up so much of your being while you're at these universities that you really can't separate the two. When a head coach loses his job, whether it's either because he got fired by the university or it's because through his own volition he decides that he is going to take another job and he leaves that university, I believe there should be an opportunity where without punishment, the student athletes who play on that football team should be allowed to transfer to another Division I team without having any kind of negative sanctions from the NCAA. I think that's a rule that should have been in place already. It is not yet, and I think that should come to pass sometime in the near future, because there is so much that goes into the decision you make as a student athlete to decide to go to that university, and a large percentage of that decision is based off of the coach that's there. And so when that element is removed, I believe you should have the option as a student-athlete to transfer schools. You're still going to go somewhere. You're still going to get a great education. But if they switch coaches on you, you don't have any control over that. When you're deciding, when you're in the recruiting process, you can control it at that point, take all the information that's on the table, and try to make the best decision you can at that point. But once they start changing some of the factors, some of the elements are now different, it's out of your control at that point, you should have the opportunity to transfer. I went through it when I was at the University of Iowa. I've talked to you guys about it before. Hayden Fry was the head coach. There was plenty of negative recruiting, which it happens everywhere. So, I mean, there's, you know, no sour grapes about it. But a lot of folks who knew I was considering Iowa, a lot of the other schools said, hey, you know, Hayden Fry's getting older. He's, you know, he's probably not going to be there your entire 4 or 5 years. You don't know who the coach is going to be. You know, how about you come here? I'm not going anywhere, different things like that. And folks did it with Nick Saban as well. When they knew I was considering Michigan State, it was, well, Nick Saban's going to the NFL. You know, I just talked to somebody, you know, 5 minutes ago who said he got a call from the Cleveland Browns and he's getting ready to take that job. All types of stuff like that happen. And the reason it's used like that is because they know you're going there in large part because of who the head coach is at that school. The way that Iowa did it in recruiting me, they actually grabbed it by the reins. They said, we know people are telling you Coach Fry's leaving next year or whatever, that he's getting older. As far as we know, Coach Fry's planning on being here another 30 years. But if he's not, the defensive coordinator, Bobby Elliott, he's actually the guy that's going to get the job. Iowa grabbed it by the reins and said, you know what? We know there's negative recruiting going on. We want to present this to you so you realize that if Coach Fry was to, for whatever reason, not be here your entire time at the university, this is the man in place, the pseudo coach in waiting, although it was not, released to the nation in that way. But Bobby Elliott was the defensive coordinator at the time when I first got to the University of Iowa. Had a great relationship with him. He was largely involved in the process of recruiting me there. He, along with Brett Bielema, Wisconsin's current coach. I said, you know what? Much as I love Coach Fry, if he did leave while I was there, I'm completely comfortable with this guy, Bobby Elliott, being the new head coach of the program. So since they already have that figured out, it makes perfect sense to me. I'm comfortable with that. Bam, I'm going to Iowa. So it was really interesting to go, through that process, but it should not be lost what the guys on the football team, what the student-athletes actually have to go through as your head coach has changed. And I was watching, some of the press coverage earlier where at Florida State's quarterback and one of their star linebackers, and they're addressing the media. That's part of the process I had to go through once Hayden Fry retired at Iowa. And you're a teenager, and you're sitting there addressing the job status of an iconic figure at the university that you play football at. It's a surreal thing where you're sitting there with cameras in your face, with tape recorders under your mouth, with people jotting down your words, not only after he leaves, but even before, with all the scrutiny about it, people wondering if he's going to leave, and the process that we went through at Iowa, as Bob Bowlesby, the athletic director at the time, as he was preparing to hire the new coach, who ended up being Kirk Ferentz, who's still there at Iowa now. We went, and there were some of us, some of the more experienced players on the team. I was going to be a junior, and the other guys that were going to be seniors the following season were meeting with the athletic director, with Bowlesby, talking about what we would look for in the next head coach at Iowa, different things like that. It makes you grow up when you go through processes like that as a teenager, because it's the gravity of it hits you more and more every time you see it on the news, every time someone asks you a question about it. And then after it happens, after that coach does leave and you see the reaction to it, it's really, I guess the best word I can think of to describe it is surreal, is exactly what it is. Look back on it now, still strikes me as a bit surreal because it was just such a long process to endure. Of course, Iowa, they hired Ferentz, ended up doing a great job up to this point in the 11th year now at the university. So we're going to stick with some college football when we come back. John Pearson, the sports director of WHNC News 19 in Huntsville, is going to talk about the upcoming SEC championship game matchup between the Florida Gators and the Alabama Crimson Tide coming up this Saturday. Got one more break coming up here on the game plan. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it. With 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
If you're thinking of starting a business or are already in business, tune in as the Kitchen Table Entrepreneur addresses business ownership concerns. Business novice or not, let the Kitchen Table Entrepreneur help you each week as we present and discuss the meat and potato issues of starting and running a business.
Join the discussion. There's always room for your thoughts and opinions. The Kitchen Table Entrepreneur is a valuable program you should be tuning into every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, is here for you, the fan, to hear about and discuss the week's top stories in the world of sports. We'll discuss not only the headliners, but you'll hear some of the smaller stories that don't usually make it on the sports wires today. It's a forum for the sports fan, hosted by Joe Cribbs, a three-time Pro Bowler with the Buffalo Bills. Joe is a 10-year pro football veteran, a former Southeastern Conference Most Valuable Player, and a member of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Discuss the topics with Joe Cribbs, No Average Joe, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to BigAntNow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
All right, let's get right back into it. I was talking to you about it before the break. The game that really everyone's been waiting for the entire football season. It's a rare thing where you have two teams start at the upper tier in the rankings, and they're still there as the end of the season approaches. And now here with the SEC Championship game on the line this weekend, the number one Florida Gators are taking on the number two Alabama Crimson Tide, and the man we have on the phone line is going to have some, I don't know if we would describe it as wall-to-wall coverage, pillar-to-post coverage. He's going to be there Saturday in Atlanta. John Pearson, the sports director from WHNT News 19, on the line. How goes it, John?
Oh, pretty good. Well, it's all I have in my life. That's why we're wall-to-wall. I really don't have much else to offer, so there we go. You follow Nick Saban everywhere.
And Nick Saban, the man is, at some points, he's a bit of an enigma, but how would you describe him? Is his attitude any different now at this point in the season that they've gotten through some of the major hurdles, and it's been so anticipated throughout the year that they would get to this point, to the SEC title game? Does he seem any different now that it's here than he did earlier in the year?
Actually, I think he's more relaxed because he just kept having to give the same lecture. You're not allowed to talk about Florida all year long. You can't talk about this stuff, and now there's no saying you can't talk about Florida because he kept saying this is the most important game, and it's an old cliche coaches do. But honestly, I think now that he's relaxed and able to just, okay, ask me any question you want about that team, and he doesn't have to give a lecture or anything, though he's very good at the lecture. I think he was pretty calm in telling stories about things and why he feels like there are some advantages. Like last year, they had to turn right around and play on a regular week, and they have that extra day after the Auburn game. The emotion they had to pour into that, they had an extra day to recover. Just he seems pretty just down to earth and ready to go, and his players pretty much act the same way he does.
The players, really from both schools, when you look at Florida's roster, you look at Alabama's roster, there's plenty of carryover from the guys that were the combatants on the field in the game last year where Florida came out victorious. To what degree is last year's game discussed, and you know, do they look at it like we need to make some tweaks over the approach we had in last year's game?
Yeah, I think not getting caught up in the moment. I think they went into last year's game thinking because they played Clemson in week one at the Georgia Dome that they were ready for the atmosphere, and it was totally different, and I think a few of them got caught up in it. A couple of the offensive linemen actually admitted they were looking around and couldn't believe what was going on, and I think this year, again, they've been through it, and they've seen when they don't take care of business what happens. Like, that's what happens when you play a good team like Utah in the Sugar Bowl last year when they just got pounded. from the very beginning when they weren't ready, and Utah may have been just as good as they were. So that was the combination there. And so I think they that time in the spotlight, people always say that the outside factors can't matter. And I think last year there were outside factors that they weren't ready for because, I mean, as great as the history of Alabama football is, it's been an awful long time since people actually talked about them as a national contender. And now they've got a year and a half's worth of people saying, wow, Alabama's really good.
And when you look at, you know, the key players in both rosters, of course, we've seen Tim Tebow perform on this stage, it seems like, for a decade now, even though he's you know, played as a true freshman. He's in his fourth year now leading Florida's offense. But Mark Ingram, you know, this is the first time that we've seen him in a championship game type of setting. And now, you know, this whole hip pointer thing seems to be a possible thing that could hamper him going into the game. Have you heard so far where he's at physically?
He seemed pretty good. I was down there yesterday, and it's hard to tell, obviously, when you're the way they move around the hallways and things like that, and they don't let you stay for practice to see anything of actual work doing when you're doing TV. They, you know, pretty much it's here's two shots of the quarterback warming up, and here's Nick Saban walking, and then you got to get out. But it's I think what's there that's different now. I think as good as Mark Ingram was as the backup last year to Glenn Coffey, Trent Richardson may end up actually being the best of all of them by the time he's done, the freshman running back who, they were able to bring him along slowly because Ingram was a workhorse this year. And now if there is a problem with Mark Ingram, I don't think they'll miss a beat. In fact, Richardson played better than Ingram did in the Auburn-Alabama game in this one. So I think they definitely want Mark Ingram to carry the ball and carry the load. But I think that they may actually not mind at all if Trent Richardson's in there to carry it 25 times and Ingram carries it 8 or 10.
And, of course, you know, being in the SEC week in and week out, Alabama's seen plenty of stellar defenses throughout the year. But when you look at the fact that Florida's top 22 returned this year from the national championship defense of last season, I think it's safe to say this is probably going to be the most ferocious defense they've faced. And so how about Greg McElroy? He strikes me as a guy that's pretty even-keeled, pretty down to earth, really loves the game of football, doesn't get himself too far away from it. How do you envision him handling this Florida D?
He definitely seemed that way to start the year, but then I think he had to get a little body language lesson as the year went on, because there were a couple times where when Nick Saban makes a decision, the quarterback is not supposed to like stomp his feet or look disappointed that you're having to come off the field. And or when he struggled, he had a couple fumbles against South Carolina, and just acted like he was just incredibly upset. And people watch the body language of a quarterback, and I have a feeling Nick Saban probably brought in some type of body language coach, which would be him yelling at him and saying, oh, you're not doing this anymore. And he definitely gathered himself, because, I mean, there were frustrating moments against Auburn, and you didn't see him acting that way. And again, if there's anything these quarterbacks have in common, they're both guys that if your daughter brought them home to say this is going to be the future husband, you'd be saying that is fantastic. Because, I mean, obviously Tebow, one or two people have said nice things about him this year. And Greg McElroy is a guy that carries himself, and he says all the right things, but you kind of get the feeling like he means it. There are athletes that you cover, they say team, 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 team. Doesn't matter what I do. With him, it definitely feels like he actually means it, and that's why he was undefeated in high school, and he's undefeated as a college quarterback.
Has it been mentioned at all? And, you know, you've been there yesterday. I'm sure you'll be back several times throughout the week before getting to Atlanta this weekend. This whole Carlos Dunlap thing, the best defensive end, I mean, really off a series of pass rushes that Florida has, Carlos Dunlap is the best guy, and it's found out early this morning that he's arrested for a DUI, and, you know, so everyone's waiting to see how Urban Meyer is going to handle this compared to the situation, you know, about a month ago, I guess it was, where he suspends the kid for a quarter for trying to, you know, gouge somebody's eye out. Do you anticipate that being addressed with Saban, whether or not, you know, maybe there'd be a tweak in Alabama's game plan based off of him, Dunlap, being in or out of the lineup?
Yeah, I don't think it will affect what they try and do, and that's always been the message that they do. I mean, obviously you make adjustments to teams, but Alabama didn't change anything they did all year long. And, I mean, obviously Florida's just kind of a different animal just because they've got speed at every position and experienced guys at every position. But I honestly think they may attack a little more or along those lines. But, I mean, they're going to run the ball. That's going to be what they do. And Dunlap is, I mean, it blows my mind that you just can't stay at the house. And, I mean, if you need to have a few drinks, okay, do it at the house. You don't have to go anywhere. It's all right. I have a feeling he's fairly popular. People probably would come to his house and hang out with him. But it's one of those things where you wonder if it'll be affected that what did happen with Brandon Spikes, because I think it was an embarrassment to the program that they didn't do anything to him, basically, and tried to sell it. I mean, I don't know if he really suspended himself. I don't quite buy that. But that was embarrassing for Florida, that everybody is calling for the kid to be out the rest of the year, which probably would have been too much. They did nothing. And I think that you don't know if Urban Meyer is so entrenched at Florida, and he has probably more power. People say Nick Saban's the most powerful coach in the country. I think Urban Meyer's right there. I mean, hopefully you'll never have to cover him because he tried to get a couple radio guys fired last year for saying things on the air. So that's kind of where he's at, and he's a very powerful guy. But how sensitive to criticism is he? That'll probably be what will make the decision, rather than does he think that a kid getting arrested matters in the preparation for the game.
And one thing I definitely wanted to get in with you about just before we finish things up here is looking at the possibility of the national championship game, because the idea has been thrown out, and it came up in the Big Ten Conference a few years ago where Ohio State and Michigan went into their season finale 1-2 in the country, and then there was a pretty close game, and so, you know, some Big Ten fans thought it would be a great idea. Let's just watch them play again in the national title game, which I thought was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
You've covered media in both areas of the country. You've been a Midwest guy. You've been down here in SEC country for plenty of time. How do you see it playing out, and what do you think could happen? You know, whether or not Alabama and Florida play a tight game here as number one and number two in the country, is there a possibility, you think, of them facing each other again?
Yeah, I think there is. It would take Nebraska beating Texas, definitely. I mean, if Texas wins at all, I mean, there's no way they can justify having a one-loss team in there when a team's stayed undefeated all year in one of the major conferences. I don't think you could even justify it if TCU, who has, you know, proven themselves, I mean, they would do everything they could, because, again, if Alabama were to lose to Florida, they are a big-ticket item in terms of a championship game team. They would do everything they could, I think, to try and find a way to get Alabama in that game. But I don't know if you could justify an undefeated team if they don't play a tough schedule, part of it is because nobody will play them. And that's like Boise State is running into that, too, where, okay, what do you have to do? And, yes, I know, week in and week out is the toughest conference in America is the SEC, but then they also around here, they turn around and talk about how Mississippi State isn't any good and Ole Miss isn't any good and all that. And it's a very weird atmosphere when they talk about the conference being great and then they make fun of how bad everybody else is. I think it would take Texas losing for even the possibility to be there. And I still think TCU might be able to sneak in there. So, it would be there, and I think a lot of politics would be taking place for it to turn into a rematch situation. And I think the fact that everybody was so upset about the last time a rematch happened, that may keep it from happening.
And when you look at the whole landscape of Alabama football, where would you think this season would rank if they came up short again against Florida in the SEC title game? Would there be much consternation, or do you think people would still be pretty satisfied with an undefeated regular season?
I think they'd be kind of upset. I think last year when they got there, they were happy to do it, but I think they undid all those good feelings when they lost to Utah in the Sugar Bowl because they thought they could just roll it out there and lose this Utah that you speak of, and they just got killed. And I think they don't want it. I don't think they would turn on Nick Saban, but I think they would they would try and figure out what is wrong. What are the shortcomings here a little bit? They were being in the SEC championship game as undefeated 2 years in a row is something you don't need to forgive. But that's kind of where the program is, because they do think they should be there every year, and that's A lot of programs are like that. So I think they would have some serious problems with a loss in this game, and especially if they were to lose this game and then lose in the Sugar Bowl again. That would be something where then all of a sudden Nick Saban would have something to deal with. Not like he'd be in danger or anything, but he would probably have to do some splaining.
We are talking to John Pearson. He is the sports director at WHNT News 19 in Huntsville, Alabama. Back and forth between Tuscaloosa, and he will be in Atlanta this weekend. We got plenty of listeners in the Alabama area. John, tell us a little bit about your coverage, if you can briefly kind of just say some of the things that you're going to be doing, maybe not only Saturday, but even just leading into the game. What can we look forward to on 19?
Well, I think a lot of it is the just kind of the way that the teams do mirror their coaches, and I think Alabama very much Rolando McClain is the star for Alabama, and he's the best player. He'll be the best player on the field on the defense of defensive players, and possibly, you know, he probably will have a longer, more storied NFL career than Tim Tebow as long as he keeps going on the right path there. But he is somebody that is just so unimpressed with any moment he is in. It is the thing that it's great about him. It's probably what makes him a great player. But it is frustrating to no end when you're trying to get him to talk about how huge a game is, and you say, "Well, right, what would this mean to you?" That doesn't mean anything to me. You know, I'm playing a football game. They all matter. You want to play in the games like this because they're the best team. But you know, it doesn't matter to me. You know, and that's it.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, they have Javier Arenas, who probably may be one of the keys. Javier, defensive back, but he's also probably the second, one of the top three kick returners in the country. And he was their offense against Auburn for three quarters. It was his returns got them in position to at least be able to do something in that game. And those two guys, and Javier Arenas couldn't be more excited about everything that he does. We asked him, is there anything he does when he just chills, you know, or he's just relaxing? Do you ever just calm down? And he said, no, that would never be. I shower intensely. I do everything intensely. And that's kind of you try and bring out the personality of the guys a little bit. And again, those two guys, they couldn't be more opposite in how they approach things. And I think when you're making up a roster, you can't have everybody be a gung-ho, rah-rah guy. And you can't have everybody just be real relaxed either, because, I mean, they always do that. If I had 53 Tim Tebows, then I'd go a long way. I don't think you would. I think, you need some guys that are real laid back and aren't looking to be the leaders. They just want to be great players. And that's kind of what Alabama's got. They've got just the right mix of guys that are real hard-nosed, scream-at-you guys, in the locker room at least, and then they've got a good mix there. So that's kind of how you sum up Alabama. He's put together a team of superstar players, but the personalities mesh really well, and I don't know if that's what he designed when he did it or if he just said, hey, he runs really fast and he jumps really high, and this is how it turned out.
All right, John, well, that is certainly one of the highlights that we always love about your coverage on the CBS affiliate in Huntsville, Alabama, WHNT News 19. The sports director, John Pearson, has just joined us on the game plan. We appreciate that, and we look forward to all the coverage leading up to and after the game this Saturday, John.
Well, Coach Saban did express one thing in his press conference, some regret. The one regret he has is that when he was trying to recruit this young stud, Anthony Heron, to Michigan State, he did not get him, and that's going to eat him up for years to come. I don't know what he had to do to get you, but apparently he was not willing to have money change hands. I admire
he
that about him.
Just a little
the
bit
incredible
close,
talent he could have had, but still. You were a probation waiting to happen, from what I understand, in terms of your attitude.
Coach Fry just gave such a good hug. Saban couldn't match it. He's not a big enough man to get that same kind of bear hug. That's all it was.
Yeah, that Martin Short low hug, that probably wouldn't work
for you. Well, enjoy the game this weekend, John. We really appreciate having you on.
All right, we'll see you soon.
All right, talk to you later, man.
Right.
That's John Pearson, as I said, the sports director, WHNT News 19, joining us. He's going to have the coverage, wall-to-wall, pillar-to-post, outhouse to in-house, whatever you want to call it. He's going to be all over the game in Atlanta this weekend. So we're going to take one last short break and then come back with a little brief segment. Give you a couple of shameless plugs before we take you out for this edition of The Game Plan. So stay tuned.
Get it up. Get it up. internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
It's football, pop culture, and everything in between. Get ready for the game plan with Anthony Herron, a.k.a. Big Ant. Anthony has a background in college and professional football and brings the player, coach, and broadcaster perspective to this weekly roundup of the top sports news and events. Big Ant wants to hear from you, too. Tune in to the game plan with Anthony Herron every Tuesday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. It's game time.
There is so much complexity behind intimate connections. Wouldn't you like a better understanding into the how and why of how intimate connections are formed, how they deepen, and how they are broken? Tune in to the Intimacy Connection with Dr. Raymond Jones to learn more about the different facets of adult connections. It's an audio guidebook to why relationships form, flourish, or break apart as they do. The Intimacy Connection, live every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
To be a part of the game plan with Big Ant, please call in to the program at 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or send an email to bigantnow@live.com. Now, let's get back into the game plan. Here's Anthony Herron.
Definitely want to get a couple of emails in before we get off the air here. I put the poll question out earlier today about Notre Dame. Now that that job is open, how do you see that job ranking in the whole lexicon of college football coaching gigs? Jim Indicator says that he's comparing it, actually, and I'm assuming this is Decatur, Alabama then, not Decatur, Georgia. Shawty. Jimmy says that he thinks the Notre Dame job, while it's not perceived in the best light right now because of recent struggles, could end up being, again, one of the best jobs in college football. Comparing it to the Alabama situation, Jimmy says that when Nick Saban took the job, folks thought he wasn't going to take it either, but Alabama put the money on the table, and they got Nick Saban here now. See where he's got the Crimson Tide. Appreciate the email, Jimmy. And Andy in Brentwood responded to the shopping email saying that he thinks he has to be even more last minute than me because he waits until Christmas morning so the stores are completely empty. Andy, I have no idea where you're finding these stores that you're claiming are open on Christmas morning, but I don't know. Maybe it's that whole, you know, Christmas story thing where you go out and instead of Christmas turkey, you get some Christmas duck or something like that. I guess somewhere is always open as long as you go to the proper neighborhood. So appreciate Jimmy and Andy and a couple of the other emails we received here at the Quaker Homes inbox, bigantnow@live.com. Feel free to email me even when I'm off the air, and I'll respond to those as well. Shameless plug, a couple of weeks from now, December 12th, going to be calling the Triumphant Sports Bowl. I had the president of the Triumphant Sports Bowl, Alex Stone. Had Alex T. Stone on the air with me a few weeks back, plugging that game. The game is going to air on ION, the ION Network. It's going to air live December 12th. I believe it's a 1:30 kickoff. That's 1:30 Mountain Time. So, I don't know. You can figure out whatever your time zone is, what that is in your neck of the woods. But I'll be doing the color. Matt Rosen, who's worked with me at the Big Ten Network, he'll be doing the play-by-play, and my wife, Kelly Drewley Herron, will be down on the sidelines for that game. The Triumphant Sports Bowl is the junior college All-American game. Take place to have a California versus the world, basically. Or, no, really versus the rest of the But certainly looking forward to that. So wanted to make sure you guys know you and the rest of the crew out at the Conference Sports Bowl as well. But appreciate the guests, John Pearson, the emailers, Andy and Jimmy. Appreciate everyone listening in. Back next Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. You have been listening to The Game Plan. Keep doing your thing, America. Let's do it better.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.